Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our Focus on Health show for this last day of April, brought to you by Vandes Medical Center, where their focus is you. And we're doing our show live today, being joined with Lori Foster from Vandes Medical Center. Lori, very good day to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat.
Yes, glad to have you along. We're doing this thing live today because we have some very good friends. We have Sarah Zorn from 21st Century Rehab, along with Kevin Boltina, joining us today about how we take care of our bodies, and they do a marvelous job, I should know from personal experience, but they're joining us today on the show, Lori.
Yes, fantastic show that we have coming up, and it's so good to be back in the studio, Pat.
Yes, indeed. So we're glad to have you along today.
Yes, how have you been?
Not too bad.
Good.
Glad April is over with, just about.
Nearly, yes.
Yes, and May will be a very busy, busy month because you have a whole lot of things going on there, Lori, don't you?
The month of May is one of the busier healthcare months. We have a lot of observances during that month. It's also National Hospital Week in the middle of the month. And so we look forward to celebrating with our staff. We have Nurses Day. You and I were talking before the program on Nurses Day next Tuesday, mm-hmm. May 6th. We will be doing our DAISY Award celebration. So that is a DAISY Award for Extraordinary Nurses. And we have several nurses that have been nominated. It will be held 1:30 on Tuesday, and we will live stream it. So very mm-hmm. excited. That's a great highlight for Nurses Day.
And you were telling me they'll be announcing the names of these recipients later in the day Wednesday, correct?
We will be announcing those today, yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. We look forward to that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Other announcements that I do have, I'd like to share with our listeners.
Okay.
Come shopping today at the hospital. We have a uniform scrub and clothing sale that's going on. It is underway now. It started at 8 a.m. and it goes until 4 p.m. in our clinic boardroom. And this is being brought to us by Emerson's at the Will out of Mason City. And our auxiliary is actually sponsoring this. And it is a sale. It is not a fundraiser. Previously, the auxiliary has done this as a fundraiser. They are instead turning those proceeds around and offering a 20% discount to all the shoppers as a thank you. And so there's more than just scrubs and uniforms. There's clothing, there's shoes, there's little gift items. And so we've had a lot of people from the community come out before and check out the goodies there. So you'll want to stop out. We're there in the clinic boardroom until 4 p.m. today.
Neat.
Yes.
So that's going all day until 4 o'clock.
Yes. And 20% off, you can't beat it.
Not at all.
And then I do also want to share with our listeners that we are looking to expand our Patient and Family Advisory Council. We call that our PFAC. PFAC members meet quarterly, and they serve as the patient's voice to our leadership and our staff and clinicians by providing insight, ways to enhance the overall hospital experience for our patients and families, offering input to leadership in evaluating services, programs, and policies, and just in general, promoting positive relationships. And so if this is something you might be interested in, or you have a few questions, would like some more information, I encourage you to call 515-832-7712. And we'll get you some more information. So we hope to get a few new members for our PFAC.
Good.
Yes. And then lastly, I do want to mention that the next community blood drive is scheduled for Thursday, May 8th. So that is a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
It'll be 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Vandes Medical Center. Your donation of blood can save your friends and neighbors. Appointments are encouraged. You can schedule yours by going online to lifeservebloodcenter.org. And I do want to thank our hospital auxiliary for sponsoring those and to Scooters here in Webster City for the donation of delicious cookies that they provide.
Very good.
Yes. And I will be sharing next week's program will be recorded because we hope to have the chance to interview all of our DAISY Award nominees. But I will be sharing we have a really fun activity planned during Hospital Week for our community to join us. So stay tuned. You're going to want to listen, watch on our Facebook page. We'll be announcing that soon.
Very good.
Yes.
So excited about that. And of course, SALT meeting is coming up on Thursday, the 5th of June.
It will be in June. Yes. So more details will have to come about the next SALT meeting.
Perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
All right. So we're on to our topic for the day with our friends from the 21st Century Rehab Office. We're talking about how to take care of ourselves today, Lori. So I will let you carry on with that.
Thank you very much,
Pat. Thank you, Lori.
Yes. Well, the month of April is National Occupational Therapy Month. So this is the perfect time to highlight our terrific team at 21st Century Rehab out at Van Deest Medical Center. And we are fortunate to have one of our occupational therapists with us today, Sarah Zorn. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for joining us on the program. And she is joined by one of our physical therapists, Kevin Boltina. Good morning to you too, Kevin.
Good morning. Always fun to be here.
Absolutely.
Talk about one of our favorite topics.
Yes.
Therapy.
Yep.
Of course, therapy and movement. And what's really great with today's program, when I talked with Kevin and Sarah, they mentioned, you know, they're working with patients daily and they get questions all the time. Some of them are common questions, and they thought, what a great program to talk about the many questions they hear from patients and share with our listeners today. So I love that we're doing this. They know, mm-hmm. too, when I have a question, that's right where I'm headed, and terrific resources that we have there in 21st Century Rehab.
Yeah, and this actually topic kind of came about not just questions that our patients are asking us. They're often common questions that people just may ask, you know, when they ask, what do you do for a living and different things. These are just a lot of the questions that come up in conversation of meeting or talking to somebody at a party or other gathering, you know, with what they're thinking. So we thought it might be just, you know, kind of fun just to talk about what some of our answers would be to some of those questions.
I think so, too. What a great program to do just a Q&A with our therapists. So I would say we could go ahead and get started.
All right. And we wrote down, you know, just kind of passed a list around, you know, amongst all our therapists, what are the common questions that they do hear? People can call in a question, not call in a question.
People could call in a question. Sure.
Well, we'll try our best on that.
Or not. That's fine.
We'll try our best. We're having a little
phone issue.
So.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Maybe some phone issues at the radio station.
So. Headphones and such. So.
Okay. Well, we just wrote down down some kind of common questions, and we'll just go through them and give our answers as to how these. The first one that we wrote down was, how can I improve my balance? And, you know, some of them can be pretty complex questions, mm-hmm. with big answers, but we'll try and shorten them as much as we can. But how can I improve my balance? By practicing it, working on it, you know, finding out your deficits and then doing it. There's lots of just simple ways of practicing balance. Some of them, standing at the sink, doing dishes, practice standing on one leg. At church, I mean, one of the exercises that we do for balance is called a church pew. Because what do? You sit and you sway at church while you're singing or standing. It's really important mechanisms in controlling your balance. So even just a standing sway works. And, you know, anytime we practice balance, we have to be thinking about safety first. So always be sure, you know, you have an out. You have something to touch if you start to lose your balance. We don't want anybody to fall. But, you know, just simple ways around the house to practice that. If you're standing, challenge your base of support. Put your feet together. Stand on one leg. For those kind of things.
We're all practicing right now. We're
swaying
a little bit here in the studio. So you can just picture all of us. And Kevin, I'm actually glad that you mentioned standing on one foot, because that is something that I have heard recently, even on a podcast from a physician, how to increase and improve your balance,
mm-hmm.
while you're brushing your teeth each day. It's something we all do.
That's right.
Those occupations, and, you know, to just brush your teeth and stand on one foot, balance on one foot while doing it.
Right. Actually, that has been out in the news a lot lately, standing on one leg as a method for balance. You know, one thing with balance testing, people challenge themselves too much, usually. And if you're challenging your balance, but having just to always touch something or hang on, all you're really doing is teaching yourself how to fall. Uh-huh. So you want to challenge your balance at a level that you can succeed at, but challenges you. So if you're standing on one leg and you can't really do it, that's too hard of an exercise for you. You should be able to maintain your stance and hold it without having to frequently be touching something to do it. Otherwise, you know, find ways to make it easier. You know, maybe instead of going to one, standing on one leg, just put your feet together and stand in that way and challenge it. But if it's too hard and you're always having to touch something, you're probably challenging yourself too much, and it won't be as effective. So,
great tip.
So our next question is, why do I have pain after surgery? This is going to be normal. You're going to have some pain. I think a lot of people think that, oh, I'm going to have surgery, I'm going to get rid of that pain, and they're going to walk out of there the next day. Well, hand surgery, knee, hip, whatever it is, you're going to have some swelling. You're going to have stiffness. And a way to get rid of that swelling and stiffness is to move. So it's really important that you do the right range of motion exercises, that you don't sit on the couch, and that you get up and get moving, get back mm-hmm. to normal activity.
Yeah, one thing after surgery is remember, you've just had a big trauma to all the tissue and the bones and everything else. And there is, you know, just if you were to fall down and cut yourself, injure yourself, there's definitely a time factor to tissue healing. And after surgery, you know, you're expected to have pain. Pain is normal. That doesn't mean that anything is wrong. It's just that your tissues have been through a big trauma, and there's going to be some pain. Now, certainly we want the pain to be controlled. We don't want pain to feel like, you know, it's getting away from us or out of control. But to expect, you know, that there is pain to be expected, and that doesn't mean that you get, you know, as Sarah said, let off the hook. We still need you to move. And get the benefits of all of the movement in that. So remembering it's always the goal after any type of orthopedic surgery to get rid of as much of the pain as possible. But that doesn't mean that's going to be expected within the early time frames after surgery. So it is normal to have a surgical procedure and to have pain in the joint or in the incisions following. But the goal is to keep the pain controlled, and over time we want to see a lessening of that pain as we go. So,
you know, sometimes you have a lot of stiffness too with that, and the way you get rid of that is your muscles pump fluid. So every time you move those muscles, you're pumping fluid, and that's what helps get rid of some of that swelling and that pain. So you got to get moving.
All right, this next question is one that, you know, we hear surprisingly often. Both with patients and just general conversation. Why can't I just get my MRI? Which an MRI is a fancy mm-hmm. X-ray. It's very diagnostic
yes.
for problems. And people like that information, but I could say it's not always the most effective, either for you know, diagnosis and certainly or for guiding treatment. You know, there are times when MRIs are important to just get them done earlier more than later. If you suspect ligamentous injury to your knee or to a shoulder, they're going to be more helpful to determining, you know, what types of problems you have than, say, an MRI on a back, which is not nearly as diagnostic. It's just one smaller piece to a much bigger puzzle. And I will say that with the caveat of unless you're concerned about conditions unrelated to a musculoskeletal injury, you know, sometimes there are red flags of other types of problems that yes, we will push for an MRI sooner. But for a lot of the times that we do an MRI, you need to do therapy, well, not need, should be doing therapy anyway. And so let's just get therapy started. And if the MRI is delayed, you know, or oftentimes the insurance companies that won't pay for an MRI quite yet, Let's get started in therapy. You're going to have to do it anyway, or should do it anyway. And the MRI, in most cases, isn't as helpful in guiding treatment as people may think. So,
Here's the big question that we get. Do I have to do exercises forever? The answer is yes.
Great answer. Yes.
And certainly, I mean, we always promote, you know, general movement and exercises. And thinking about exercises that may be prescribed during therapy sessions, it's often like, you know, medications. You know, if you have to take a medication for a problem that's, you know, maybe an ongoing thing, doing exercises forever may also be important. It's also part of your toolbox that maybe you get a problem corrected and the exercises become a little bit less of a priority. Not that we don't want you to be doing some exercises, but it's also in your toolbox. And if your shoulder starts bothering you again, you know, take out some of those tools and start working on them again. So, yeah, exercises are important forever. We don't necessarily buy into, well, I can't do that, I'm 85. Well, my response is normally, I need you to do that because you're 85.
Yeah.
To do that. So, yeah, exercises and movement, you know, ongoing is super important.
Another way to think about it is range of motion and strength will prevent injuries. So if you're strong, you have good range of motion, you know, that might help prevent that next injury. So
exactly. And mm-hmm. That's so important. We want people to age and continue to have their strength and range of motion as they do. And it kind of goes back even to your last question, Kevin, when you talked about the therapy, people just wanting to, oh, do I have to do the therapy? I just want to be able to get the MRI. But quite often the insurance companies, they want you to do the therapy and will require the therapy before they will approve an MRI being done, because there you could get improvement by doing therapy and maybe that will change the course of the treatment going forward. So we want you to continue moving for life.
Right.
I can take this next question. So do I have to wear compression socks forever? So at the clinic, I do lymphedema therapy, which is chronic inflammation, swelling of your legs, arm. It can be anywhere. And part of that treatment is compression. And Pat's showing me his compression right now. So good for him.
I've been doing this for 2 years now.
Yep.
For you.
I got compression socks.
Yes, good
and
for
when,
you.
And when the warm weather comes, I don't wear them. Seriously. With warm weather.
Well, that warm weather making your legs swell more, you probably should wear them.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yep.
But I thought, didn't.
Well, they feel good now that you have them on, right?
Yeah, they do.
So then you take them off and you don't wear them for a while, then what happens?
The swelling kind of, well.
Yes.
It disappears in a way.
It disappears or increases?
It doesn't decrease.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stays the same for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, some people are lucky.
But I've had these since I was introduced by the both of you 2 years ago this next month, and I've been wearing these compression socks. I also want to thank a fellow nurse in my family to introduce me to this. So, but as we head towards the summer months, I just not wear them, but oh well. I'll follow your instructions then.
If you have chronic swelling, you should wear your compression every day. Just because once you stop wearing them, then your legs kind of creep back up again. And
never
then you're
never happened last summer to me. Never
okay,
did.
That's good.
Yeah. Never did.
Well, sometimes they creep back up and then you're back to where you started. So then when you start wearing those socks again, they're probably pretty tight.
Yes. but not anymore. These are natural here. These are just normal.
All right. Well, I'm recommending people wear them most of the time then.
Okay.
One of the most common, you know, just very general questions that we get is, why does my back or my shoulder or my knee hurt? And that's pretty vague. I mean, I can't just answer that in a conversation. I mean, there may be some clues that I can pick up on based on posture or just how you're moving or anything. But that's why, you know, therapists will do an evaluation, you know, that first visit. You know, we need to know also, why does your back or your shoulder or your knee hurt? And, you know, just like any profession, there are tests and screens and things that we go through to start identifying what specific problems we see, and then can base our treatment program, you know, based on that, those evaluation findings. And that's a very personal program. You know, people's problems can be so different that, you know, we need to be able to take a crack at looking at the problems we see and then addressing those. So it's just very general to be asking, you know, that. It's a little bit like, well, let's go on. Okay. I have pain in my jaw. Can therapy help? Yes. You know, it's a surprisingly common problem to have pain in your jaw when such things as eating or yawning, those type of things. And your jaw is a joint just like all the other joints in our body. It comes with a really fancy name, temporomandibular joint, or shortened to TMJ. But yes, it's a joint with joint tissues and muscle tissues and specific movement patterns that are easy to get out of whack and cause all kinds of problems. Therapy can help. You know, it's actually a fairly common diagnosis that is probably undertreated on that. So pain with yawning, eating, any of those things. Yep, try letting a therapist take a look at it and seeing, because it's a joint just like all the other joints that we work with.
We get a lot of referrals from dentists from that. They go to the dentist, they're having some pain, and hopefully the dentist will send them to therapy. So,
great tip to share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it is.
So our next question, why do I need a speech therapist? I have no trouble talking. So our speech therapist at the hospital, her name is Caitlin. She's amazing, and she does lots of things besides just speech. She does a lot of cognition. If someone has had a stroke, she will help with cognition, helping to get that brain to
get back to normal in a
way. Yeah, yep.
Problem solving, yep. I think, is in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As well as swallowing.
Yep.
Did you say that?
Yeah. Nope.
So if, you know, oftentimes people have difficulty eating because they don't swallow well. They can't move the food, you know, to where it's supposed to go. And so a lot of swallowing issues are referred to for speech therapy. Just common things to look for. If there's a lot of coughing during or shortly after eating, that may be something that a speech therapist can help with to improve or make modifications to how that process goes.
Very good. What do we have next?
So why do I need occupational therapy when I don't have a job? Well, as an occupational therapist, I can tell you, you have lots of occupations during the day. Lots of you got up today, had breakfast, you know, brushed your teeth, maybe you drove to work. So those are all your occupations of your day, activities of daily living. It's not necessarily your job, although I do see a lot of patients that have hand problems from work. But that's why we're occupational therapists. It's all your activities of daily living that you do during your day.
How long or often do I have to come? Or I usually phrase that, how long do you get to come? And that, again, like so many, it's very dependent on the problems you have, what the therapist's ideas are with what they want to work on. You know, a typical program is, you know, to see patients 1 to 3 times a week with appointments lasting from 45 minutes to an hour. And that can be from just a visit or two on up to, you know, multiple weeks of therapy, again, depending on, you know, the factors identified during the assessment and how severe of issues are. Does therapy hurt? You know, our goal is that we, you know, that it shouldn't hurt, with some exceptions. If you come in after a total knee replacement, I'm probably not going to tell you it's going to be pain-free. But we also want, you know, don't want to exacerbate a lot of pain. Sometimes, you know, we're getting things moving that haven't been moving for a while. Muscles can get a little stiff and sore after starting a new program. But we're, you know, looking for most of that to be able to resolve fairly quickly after a program. So our goal is, you know, no, we don't want therapy to hurt. We don't want it to be an uncomfortable experience to come in for therapy. We want it to actually, you know, be helpful, make you feel better. That's the goal. Is it sometimes challenging? Yes. I mean, it is physical therapy. We're going to be expecting to move and to challenge you in certain ways. You know, it's so common to hear, well, this is my physical terrorist. Okay. And that's not really accurate. But I know that's the perception. So, no, most of the times we don't want therapy to hurt. That doesn't mean we're not going to try and challenge you and get things moving that maybe haven't moved a little bit. And they may be a little reluctant to do that. But with few exceptions, no, therapy won't be real, you know, painful.
And for a lot of people, that challenge is good. Like, we need that.
Yes, we need to get past that first yes. stiffness and soreness and get ourselves moving again.
Does therapy help? Yes, usually it helps. We all can improve. We can all get stronger. We can all improve our function. There might be some cases that you don't feel like you have gained a ton, but most of the time, therapy can help you.
And, you know, that's part of that is, you know, being able to control what you can control. I mean, there's so many factors that can play into, you know, why people may be struggling at certain things. You know, we encourage, you know, trying to do, you know, get proper movement. But there are other things that weigh into that, too, you know, including, are you eating well? Are you staying hydrating? What other medical conditions are there that might interfere with progress there? You know, what your attitude is. You know, certainly if you come in and are pretty determined that it's not going to help, you know, it may be less effective. There are so many factors, you know, that can play into it. But we almost always think that getting people moving is better than not moving. Being stronger and more mobile is better than being less strong and less mobile. You know, there's almost always, you know, benefits that we see in some of those reasons. So. Our last question that we wrote down is, can you just give me some exercises? And that's like going to a doctor and saying, I'm sick. Can you give me some medicine? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to know more information to mm-hmm. be sure we give, you know, the right exercises. There's a million different exercises that you can find out there. What may be right for somebody is the exact opposite that the next guy should be doing, just based on what problems they may have. So I think that's doing a big disservice to, you know, people. If all they're doing is getting a handout of exercises or anything else, or, you know, exercises for back pain. I mean, I see these coming across an internet feed all the time, and it kind of puts me in a grumpy mood, and I've been known to rant sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, you know, I just hate that. That's just not great information, because what can help somebody is the exact opposite of what the next person should do. So if I get asked that question somewhere, I'm going to probably go on a rant, which is much more than they wanted when they asked me the question. But no, I think it needs to be much more specific than handing out an exercise. Mm-hmm. So
there we go.
Fantastic. Great information shared by both of you. I know we are at the top of the hour. Before we close out, again, I want to thank both Sarah and Kevin for being on the show today. We mentioned Caitlin, the speech therapist, but there are a few other team members that I want to make sure that we at least mention are part of our terrific team at 21st Century Rehab.
We have Diana Raska, who's the other occupational therapist. You can talk about PT.
Well, you know, Lori Andrew, who has been with us for a long time.
We have Dylan.
You know, Dylan Anderson, doctor of physical therapist, and he has, you know, he loves working with, you know, more of the sports injuries, those type of things. He's very, very good at that. Susan Woodle's one of our physical therapists, and she has expertise in so many different areas, actually, that she can do that. And Adriana's a therapist that we get to see a couple days a week. She will probably be someone you would get to work with if you have trouble with your jaw, as we mentioned earlier. She has some special expertise on that. And we can't forget about even our front office people. Yeah, Sarah Capriva, who's new with us at 21st Century Rehab. You will see her at the front desk. And Lori Hansen, who has been with us for a long time, but, you know, has the fortunate ability to be retiring soon. So we're going to miss her, but excited for her new opportunities as well. So,
yes. Well, fantastic. Again, this is such a great team we have at Vandy's Medical Center through 21st Century Rehab. I want to thank you all for your terrific service and for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Very good. Lori, and to all of you, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you, Pat.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. And that does it for Focus on Health on KQWC, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where their focus is you. 902 KQWC.